I forgot to introduce myself because I just ran down the, I just drove real fast down I-35 from Dallas because I had a presentation up there this morning, and I slid in, and thanks to Catherine for covering for me for one of my speaker introductions. I'm Christy Mondrick, and I'm the presiding officer for the afternoon. And I am delighted to introduce this panel of UT law professors with Calvin Johnson. I'm going to go in order of seniority. Cal Johnson is the KIPP Chair in Corporate and Business Law Emeritus at the University of Texas School of Law. And I see that he's going to be teaching his last class in spring 2024 on taxes seen by algebra and Excel GoalSeq program. I do not know what that means. And then he's going to go on research leave. And so he's going to do smart thinking about all sorts of things. And Susie Morse, Associate Dean for Academic Affairs here at UT Law School. And she is, how long have you been?
10 years.
Oh, 10 years now, 10 years. And, oh, this is really super cool because we get to welcome Kristen Hickman. She has been at the University of Minnesota School of Law, and effective January 1st, 2024, she
not anymore.
Nope, not anymore.
Unfortunately.
Oh, okay. This is okay. So I'll let her introduce herself, but she is the McKnight Presidential Professor in Law, Distinguished McKnight University Professor, Harlan Albert Rogers Professor at Law, and Associate Director of the Corporate Institute. So they are going to talk with us today about the effect of the Administrative Procedures Act on IRS guidance, and I'll let them talk.
Am I just going?
You're going. It's
okay.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. I had planned to move to the University of Texas and was looking forward to it, but sometimes life throws you a curveball. I'm just fortunate to have two wonderful research universities that want me to be on their faculty. Anyway, we're going to
so
be talking
many friends.
Exactly. Today we're going to be. I want to start off by thanking Cal for putting together this panel and asking me to participate. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to be on a panel with Cal and with Susie. Our topic today is the Administrative Procedure Act and its applicability and effects in the tax administration context. I want to preface everything that I'm going to say, at least, by especially following the panel that we just had, by recognizing what a challenging job people who work for the IRS have and how hard they work in doing that job. I also want to acknowledge, for better or worse, that, you know, some of the cases that we're going to be talking about are tax shelter cases. Unfortunately, for better or worse, when you're talking about tax procedure issues and litigation about them, oftentimes they involve tax shelters because that's where the money is. And so those are the people who are willing to litigate the issues. That doesn't mean that those are the only people who are affected by the outcomes of those cases. And that's always an important point that I like to make. The IRS and Treasury have a tremendous amount of discretionary power, and part of the reason why we talk about procedural requirements is as part of their, you know, the law that governs them as they exercise that discretionary power. So we've got a single slide deck for the three of us that we have put together, although you'll be able to see where the changes come. Mm-hmm. You know, in any event, I want to say also at the outset, as we're talking about this, that Treasury and the IRS have always acknowledged that the Administrative Procedure Act governs tax administration. It's at least been in the Internal Revenue Manual as such since the 1960s, if not before. I'm not sure when the Internal Revenue Manual first started, but at least since the 1960s, they've recognized the applicability of the Administrative Procedure Act. Formally, where Treasury and the IRS and I have disagreed is over whether and to what extent Treasury and the IRS have failed in their obligation to comply with the APA's requirements as they carry out their responsibilities in issuing guidance. lots of people were surprised by the Supreme Court's declaration in 2011 in the Mayo Foundation case that the court was disinclined to depart from general administrative law requirements, doctrines, and norms in the tax context, absent a good reason for doing so. And so as a result, a lot of tax lawyers are not that familiar with APA, the APA's requirements.